Profile on Praise Junction. Listen.
This is my story.
Real people, real stories. Real God, real change.
This is my story. Tell me about my Savior. Show the world His love. This is my story.
This is Profile on the Praise Junction Show.
Allow me to get to our guest today, a great gentleman joining us today. His name is Mr. Dan, but I'll allow him to introduce all his other names because I was telling him off air that one of his names inaniletea shida ya matamchi. How are you doing, Mr. Dan?
I'm fine. Yes. And thank you for having me today.
Amen.
Yes.
Your first time at Hope FM?
Yes, my first time at Hope FM on radio. Mm. Yeah, the last time I was here, I was on TV.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. Karibu sana. So introduce yourself officially.
Okay. My name is Dan Sheshe Matakaya. I am a police officer currently attached to Industrial Police Station. I'm visually impaired, totally blind, and I'm a survivor of domestic violence.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you've said you're visually impaired and you're a survivor of domestic violence.
Yes.
Before, I don't want to preempt everything,
mm-hmm.
but just I want you to create an image for my listener to get when you say you're visually impaired, but for me, I can see you. I know literally how you look like.
Yeah.
Can you describe yourself to this listener? If they are to visualize who you are.
Okay. As I've said, I'm visually impaired, totally blind. I can't see anymore, but this is not how I was born. This is as a result of the violence, the attack from my ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my face is full of scars. And I believe it's disfigured. I don't know because I've not seen. Yeah. But
I can say yes to that.
Yes, and the acid also affected my right hand, and then towards my shoulder and chest, and I also have a blocked nostril, the right nostril. Yeah, it's still blocked. So I'm still under treatment.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're breathing through one nose?
Yes, through one nose.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be getting to the details about domestic violence that you have said that caused you to be who you are. And I can say, yes, my dear listener, the way Mr. Dan has described himself is exactly how he's looking like. You can check him out. We have his photo right on our Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter, just to give you a picture of the guest you have today. So let me take you way back, Mr. Dan. You know, all of us grew up somewhere.
Yeah.
And in a family, able to take me way back so many years ago, if you're free, you can say how many years ago. How was it like growing up as a child, and where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in a place called Shakungu Village within Kakamega County.
Yeah.
I was born in a family where we are 9 siblings. I'm the 5th born.
Mm.
Two girls and 7 boys. I was born in a Christian background whereby my parents were so strict.
Mm-hmm.
Kila kitu was you pray. Yani, they instilled that values in us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a normal life because I come from an average family.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereby both my parents were teachers. And at one point, we were struggling with life because we could see them struggling, but they made sure they gave us the best to what they can. And ile kulingana uwezo wao.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So you schooled, you cleared. Did you always want to be a police officer?
No.
no. What did you want to be?
I wanted to be a lawyer. But after school in 2007, I went to Shukulu Primary School, and then joined St. Ignatius Mukum Boys High School.
Yeah.
And then I finished my Form 4 in the year 2007. In the year 2008, we had been given a new district, Kakamega East District.
Yes.
And then there was the recruitment. That was the first recruitment after the when we were given the new district. So I just went to try my luck. And in fact, when I reached there, watu walikuwa meja. So I wanted to go back home. But some of those friends whom we were with at school told me, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I went to the line, I went through the process, and then, in fact, our work for Ulu, but for me, I think that was just my day, because we went through the process, and then the last kukakua sasa na mbio. You know, I was fresh from school, and in school I used to run.
Yes.
So when you are running, I ran and I was number one. So then tulienda mchujo ya mwisho. Now to do a 10 minutes quiz. That is where I can say, you know, this is a competition.
Yes.
And I was fresh from school. We were given 5 minutes to do 10 questions. The fractions, just easy things.
Yes.
So I did them first. And then those people who were with me, they were asking me for answers. So to me, I felt this is a competition.
Yes.
And they want just three people.
Mm.
So I was giving them wrong answers because I wanted to pass. Yeah, but okay, that's how I did. But yeah. I managed. I joined the police. I went to the Kenya Police Training College, Kiganjo, for 9 months. Then in the year 2009, May, that's when we finished our course, and I was posted to a station called Itapo Police Station.
Yes.
Which is within Embu County.
Mm.
So I started working. I was deployed in the crime office to do investigation.
Yes.
And that's where I met my ex-wife.
Your passion was to do investigation, or you are just assigned?
You know, I was just assigned. I think the commander saw me and how, you know, I was a hard-working guy.
Yes.
So he just assigned me to the crime office.
Mm.
So I started doing investigations. So that's where I met my ex-wife.
Mm.
Because there was a case. We handled the case, and she was the one who had come to report on behalf of the family.
Okay.
So that's when we started knowing each other and the family, and then later we fall into love.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'd love you to, if you're comfortable, of course, take us through. So you met, you fell in love,
yes.
You know, so you settled down. What good memories do you have about that season before we now get to the meat of the story?
Yeah, you know, first, my ex-wife was such a humble girl. Akuwa mtu wa drama. Like, maneno mingi, yes, mpole. So I felt that, okay, maybe it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had seen what many men were struggling with within the police line. So I felt, and I needed to settle down because niko na job. I'm working, I have money.
Yes.
What next? I need to settle down so that nianze familia mapema.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I was so young, I was 20, 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
When we met, but I just needed to settle down.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was a good lady. Never did I know that one time she will change my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you, in your dating period before you settled down for marriage, did you ever see any red flag, as we'd call it, or anything that you felt, should I investigate this? Because you are doing investigation, should you investigate this? Or you are so much in love, you just said, twende, but penzi.
Yeah, to me, I never, hata kama liona, si kuchukulia manani. You know, sometimes when you are deeply in love, you don't see, some things you don't see. Mm-hmm. They are there, but you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I never saw anything bad because I had made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you settled down after how long?
So in the year 2012, that's when we started living together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Since 2012, we started living together. And then in October, we were placed with a baby boy, a child.
Year.
Yes, same year 2012.
Mm.
Yeah. Then 1 month later, that was in November, I was transferred from Embu to Kisii. And now the babies, we couldn't travel with the kid because he was still too young.
Yeah.
So since my ex-wife was from that locality, we agreed she remained behind. Then I proceed, I settle, then they can join me later.
Mm.
Because within the police we had issue ya manyumba.
Yes.
So I proceeded on transfer. Then sikupata nyumba. But later I was allocated a house. But silikuwa zile nyumba za mabati. I think you have seen those houses.
Yes.
Within police lines.
Mm.
So that house, it was not conducive to where you can stay with your family.
Yes.
So she came with the baby to Kakane for 2 weeks. Then we head home. But the fortunate thing is that alikuwa amepata kazi.
Yes, they want your wife.
Mwea, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me, nimepata kazi, let me go back.
Mm.
So we agreed because ata hiyo nyumba tungeka. Yeah. So she went back. So I was now visiting them, traveling from Embu to Mwea, like after 2 weeks. Yeah, I used to travel.
Yes.
And then in the year 2013, in May, we lost the kid.
What happened?
He had been diagnosed with severe pneumonia and meningitis. So we lost him at Karugoa District Hospital. I remember I was in the hospital for 2 weeks and I saw what the kid was going through, the pain. Yeah, but we lost him and hiyo ni mpango ya Mungu. Yes.
Okay.
Then 2 weeks after the burial, my ex-wife came and told me that she had been advised we need to have another kid so that the trauma, those memories, the kumpoteza mtoto, ziishe.
And you, Dan, did you even go through mourning? Because this is a very short time and you have come to see.
Yeah, it's a short time. Yeah, it's a short time. We were still mourning. And you know now, she came to me. Now she's telling me the advice she has received from other people.
Okay.
Yeah. To me, I felt, okay, maybe that could be the best advice. But to me, I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
Because I felt that someone was trying to control us. We were young, so I felt people were trying to intrude into our private matters and trying to influence the decision that we are making.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I told her, let's just give it a wait so that someone else could not feel like he or she is controlling our life.
Yeah.
So we agreed and we moved on. And then she moved to Nakuru, whereby she joined her elder brother. He had businesses in Nakuru, so she went there to manage those businesses.
Mm.
To me, I felt this a sigh of relief because from Nakuru to Kisii, was near as compared to Nakuru to Mwea. Yes. So we moved on. So she used to come to Kisii every weekend. The other weekend I traveled to Nakuru. Mm-hmm. And then in the same year in September, she came and we stayed together for 2 weeks.
This is in 2013.
Yes, in 2013.
Okay.
For 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But 2 days before the incident, she told me that she wanted to take the kids' belongings, those items that were in the house. Mm-hmm. She wanted to take them to Nakuru. Mm-hmm. So that's where the quarrel started. I asked her why she was saying so. Mm-hmm. She kept quiet. We had just a quarrel, then she kept quiet.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-wife wasn't someone who could talk.
Mm.
Whenever we had issues, she could keep quiet.
Mm.
So I used to call her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, to ask her what was happening in her life. You know,
yes.
This time I called her mom to intervene to see what is happening,
yes.
Why she wanted to take those items.
Mm.
So her mom called her and he told her to go home.
Yeah.
I don't know what the talked, but she was supposed to go home.
Mm.
So on 21st September, that was the day she was supposed to travel. So that day, I was on duty. It was on Saturday, so I was on duty on Friday,
yes.
On a night shift.
Mm.
So at around 5:30 in the morning, I went to the house. Eh?
Yes.
Since I was so tired, I just went to sleep. And few minutes later, as I was sleeping, she woke up and poured sulfuric acid on my face and ran away.
Well, you got into the house, Dan, you see, you found
yes.
her sleeping.
Yeah, she was
so
sleeping.
You drank her to sleep.
Yes.
Then she wakes up.
She wake, yes, and poured sulfuric acid on my face. So it started burning. So I woke up to try and get some water to dissolve those burns. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
When I stepped on the floor, I felt a shock. She had gone further and connected electricity, the heater, you know, the heater that we used to kuchemsha maji.
Yeah.
And then she was so smart. She had poured water on the floor,
mm-hmm.
and then akaweka hiyo heater. So the current, you know, was flowing because
yeah.
this is water. So when I felt the shock, I was so confused. I couldn't do anything. I just screamed and my colleagues came and rescued me and rushed me to the hospital.
At this point, okay, she poured and she went away.
Yes, and she ran. She left even her bag kwa nyumba. She just ran away.
Did you have a quarrel before that? What was happening before that?
Yeah, 2 days before this incident, that's when we had the quarrel.
This is the quarrel about taking the
yes,
baby,
yes,
baby
yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, she was supposed to travel now the day she did do, yeah, she did this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was rushed to the hospital. The first aid was done. Mm-hmm. Then I started seeing. I walked to the ward. But now the pain was so severe. I was struggling. I was struggling with pain. So the doctors saw what was going on. They gave me some painkillers, but I kuisha. So
mm-hmm.
They just injected me and I slept. So when I woke up, I realized I couldn't see anymore.
Oh.
I was transferred from Kisii Hema Hospital to Kakamega. That's a home locality.
Mm.
And then 2 days later, I was airlifted to Kenyatta. Now in Kenyatta, that's where I received a comprehensive treatment in the burns unit.
Where is your family? Is somebody aware at this point?
Yes, yes, yes. Immediately, you know, that day.
Yes.
And you know, the same day she did this to me,
mm-hmm.
I had a laptop in my house. I wanted to send it to my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had gone for prayers in Migori. Ile prayers for women. Eh?
Yes.
So they had gone to Migori for prayers. For a 2 days prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was supposed to drop the laptop to my mom to take it home.
Yeah.
So walikuja akanipigia siku anapatikana.
Mm-hmm.
Then on their way, wakati alifika a arrow, that's when she was told that nimechomwa. So she had to ashuke kwa gari to come back. And then my bro was in Nairobi, pia akaambiwa, akaanza kuja. And then my other elder brother was in Kisi. He works with the Kenya prison. So that was the one who first came to the hospital. So he was in Kisi. So hiyo siku, all the family members were there with me.
Okay.
That's when they decided to take me to Kakamega. Because by that time, hakuna mtu alikuwa anajua what is the main cause of the incident. Yeah.
So nobody had explained, it's your wife, this is what she had done. So it was just, we need him well.
Yeah, yeah. So I took Jua, what was the reason behind it? Was there any other person behind this?
Yeah.
No one knew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at what point did you let them know that this is exactly what happened?
No, I told them. I told them. Yeah. You know, niliwaambia what was happening. And sometimes I used to share what was happening in my life. Like, you know, I felt that, you know, many people were interfering with the marriage, and ilikuwa from her side. In fact, one reason why I was transferred, me mwenyewe nilitafuta transfer, because I wanted now to get out of the station to go somewhere far, because I felt that there's a lot of interference. Yeah.
From them?
Yes,
from
yes.
People?
Yeah, from my people, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even with moving, that didn't solve anything?
It didn't solve anything. I thought it could solve, but it didn't.
Did you seek help from another person?
No, not really. You know, as men, the society has also groomed us that some many things we are not, we couldn't share. Atuongei. We are not comfortable. Yeah, we act like men. We are not comfortable sharing what we are going through. Yeah. So in the hospital, that's where I received apprehensive treatment, and that's where I also found many other men who are also patients in the hospital. Wale pia wamechomwa. And I joined them there, the burns unit. I thought I'm the first one, you know?
Yeah.
I thought I'm the first one, but that's where I came to know of many other men. Wengine ni mafuta, wengine ni stove. Yeah. And then, in fact, you know, when I was in the hospital, I was not seeing. So those patients, ndi wale pia walikuwa wananisaidia. Like, to walk around, take me to the washroom. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, at the hospital, the doctors, you've said the doctor, at the hospital, you've said Kenyatta, that's where you are really told what the real issue is. So, what did the doctor, it was burn, at what degree was it, and what did it mean?
It was 18% third degree burn. And, I underwent, I remember going through more than 15 surgeries. Yeah, because you know now the burns wounds take quite some time to heal. So what they do the grafting. You are taken to theater, wanatoa ngozi malingine, wanaweka, sometimes inakata kushika. So you go back again. That's now that was a routine for us, and that was the you know, at one point, nilifika mahali nikazoea. So I felt that going to theater, I used to prefer going to theater than any other nini procedure, because that is the only way sitasikia uchungu. Yeah,
how long you know, I'm imagining 15 operations.
Yeah, ilikuwa like kila wiki.
No.
Yeah.
So in hospital for how long again?
I was in Kenyatta for 6 months. I was in the burns unit for 5 months, and then from burns unit I was taken to the now the private wing, Ward 9B. I still remember. So now, and remember when I was in the hospital, my only prayer was for the restoration of my sight. So I used to pray, I used to ask people to help me to pray, and they used to pray. So me likuwa najua tu I'll see again. So when I went to the burns unit, to the private wing, now Dr. Wamacho, he came and he told me that, Dan, we are sorry, you won't see again. You need to accept and move on. So that's now where the challenges started. At that point, I felt that my life has come to an end.
What did you tell God?
Statement from the doctor was so devastating. I felt that ni kama Mungu ameniacha, you know? Yeah. And then I started contemplating suicide while in the hospital. Kitandangu ilikuwa karibu na dirisha. So I felt that the only way I can do this is to throw myself through this window.
From ninth floor.
So that by the time I reach the ground, no one, sitakuwa. But now, the other thing was, what if, something was clicking in my mind, what if you throw yourself, then there's a roof next to the window. Then you don't fall down. What damage would you have caused to yourself? So I sat down and tried to figure out what is the best way to do it. As I was thinking, figuring out what to do, there was another patient in the hospital who was my friend. In fact, mwenye tulikuwa nakaa naye ananisaidia. So this guy, at around 2 a.m., you know, in the hospital, at the sleeping pattern ilikuwa imebadilika. We used to sleep during the day, then usiku tunakaa tu kwa viti. So this time at 2 a.m. we are just talking. And then this guy told me that, Dan, I wish I could be you. I was so worried. I started laughing, but I was so worried because I was asking myself, hii jamaa ni kama pia kichwa yake imeenda. You know, yeah, I felt this guy is kama kichwa yake imeenda, amekuwa wazimu, na yeye ndio nategemea hapa. So I asked him, why are you saying so? This guy was so honest. He told me, Dan, you are not seeing. Your face is scarred, it's disfigured, but one thing I'm sure of is that you'll come out of this hospital alive. For him, he never knew his fate. But let me tell you, that statement, that was the turning point for me.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
I want us to pause there, because I'd really want us to come back and you tell me that statement by this great friend of yours.
Yes.
How it turned your life around.
Okay.
To be who you are today.
Okay.
Oh, I'm hosting Dan Matakaya. Our guest today on Profile, a real story of going through a tough real life situation and God healing. Are you that person who is there? Talk to us on 20933, because today we'd love to do some ministry to you and just ask the Lord to help you heal in Jesus' name. Let's have this quick break. When we come back, we'll want to know, how did God use this dance friend? Of course, Dan will let us know his name when we come back. And how did his life change after that? 20933 is the SMS line at Top FM Live, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, are our pages. And on 0717-400-555 is our WhatsApp line.
This is Profile. Real people, real stories, real God, real change. Hope FM.
Another quality service from Christ is the Answer Ministries.
Listen and live.
The Profile Song Break. Take a moment of reflection.